The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Yep. I only love it with some passion. Rubber band and the money that keeps stacking. Got a honey who come with elite fashion. She too fine, I tell her that thing's magic. You ain't a hustler, you broke, well that seems tragic. Gotta catch in the field like deep passes. I tell her plug if it's sticky, then please bag it. I need the best cause I grew up beneath madness. Need a matte burgundy mercy. Jewelry so heavy it might hurt me. Smoking extra kill, that extra seal. Whoa. Buffalo money need extra bills. Till I'm eating so much I got a breakfast deal.
So what? Yo, what is up? It's your boy Sterls, and it's Tuesday night, and I got my dog in here, All Bro Poe in the house, and we coming off this dub. How you doing, man? How you doing?
I'm doing amazing. Same as I was doing last Tuesday.
See, this is where we got problems, because you come in here and you act like everything's fine, anything wrong.
Everything happened how it was supposed to happen.
Of course, you're gonna say that. See, this is why I can't F with you like that, bro. The name of this show is I'm F'ing Back, and I'm F'ing Back, all right? Josh Allen's back. I'm back. Man, welcome to the Chop Up right here on the Buffalo Rumblings vidcast feed. Oh, man. It's definitely a better start to this week than last week. After coming off a loss to the Broncos, the Bills kind of right the ship and get a win, a convincing win against the New York Jets, 32-6. So how's that? How does that hit you? What are your thoughts? Because we haven't talked really since then. What's your thoughts? Go on and give me some BS.
I mean, it was what I expected from this offense, right? Like, that's a good defense. And they've mm-hmm. done well. They've done well against specifically Josh Allen in the way since he's been here, or at least – the last 3 years since they drafted all their number one guys, Sauce and them guys, they've done well against this team. And it was nice to see them get into a rhythm. And, like, I did have a problem with the fans booing us going up 9. I had a problem on Twitter with that, and I saw some people crying about it. And I'm like, yo, like, we scored 16 and a half, and that's 32 if you fill out the game. And we're getting boos, and it was pissing me off. It's like, dude, we haven't scored 16 in a game. Well, we scored 17 last game in total. We scored 16 and a half. You know what I mean? So that's a good defense. So I'm happy with the way the offense played. The defense is going to – I feel like the defense is just going to do their – as long as we have a piece of those guys out there, they're going to do their jobs for the most part, most of the weeks. And I was happy with the way the offense came out and played.
I thought it was the right decision at the time to kick the field goal, right? I mean, you didn't know what Joe Brady and his offense was going to do. Like, no, as Sean McDermott, you don't know that. You know what they're capable of. I think you know what their ceiling is, but you don't know. I mean, I think he did the right thing right there, you know? Because if Josh Allen decided to go off the rails, at least you had a 9-point lead.
And I'm not in the business, me personally, and some people may disagree. I'm not in the business of making statements in situations where that statement can cost you games. And so I'm good with the 4th and 2. You go for it up 9. I'm great with that. 4th and 1 or whatever it was at the time. We ended up scoring a touchdown on that drive and great on that play to Ty Johnson. And that's great. I'm not in the business of making statements at the cost of going up two scores. And so there's time and place to make statements like that. And there's time and place not to, and there's time to play points. And if we were like panicking, I would see McDermott going for that up 6. You know what I mean? If that was a panic play, and I'm a big non-panic guy. You play the way that you would play it if you were playing well.
So basically what you're saying is you are a proponent of the Sean McDermott school of being conservative.
Not conservative. No. You didn't even hear what clearly you just took half of what I just said and responded to half of it.
That's my job.
I'm a big
that is my job.
Making statements when that statement
I know.
is not a cost of the game. So like and then or if you need to be aggressive to win the game, if you're playing a team like the Chiefs and it's 4th and 1, you're down 3, that's a position where you're down 4, that's a position where you need to go for it because you don't know the next time you'll have a chance to go up points. And so there's certain times to do that and there's certain times not to, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's a time and a place for everything. I you know what? I was impressed with Sean's calling of the defense this week. You know, we didn't see a lot of zero blitzes, you know, which you didn't need to do as much as he's done this season. I liked what they did this week, and it looked really good from a schematic standpoint. I hope he kind of has the same mindset going into this game against the Eagles. You know, I like the I don't know if you noticed last night, but the blitz packages that Steve Spagnuolo put together with the Chiefs defense, I like that, you know, kind of getting Hurts off his spot. Not necessarily causing him to scramble, but just getting him to think twice. And Spags is really good at, you know, changing the picture kind of post-snap. And so
simulated,
A lot of simulated pressures to, you know, 4's coming, but you don't know which 4 are coming. And I'm excited. You know, this is a game this week as we pivot here. And we're going to dibble and dabble and talk about, you know, what we thought of the offense. But this is the week where, as a team, you can prove, you know, you can prove a lot of people wrong this week. Because, I mean, how many people are actually counting on the Bills to win the game? Probably not many. But for the Bills, for a confidence standpoint, going into this game, you got to feel good. I think the Bills can beat the Eagles. I'm not even going to cap, like, sit here and say, you know, the Eagles are going to blow them out. No, I don't think so. I think the Bills can put up a good fight and win this game this weekend. What are your thoughts on that?
There's not any team I think that, like, anything could happen on Sunday, so I don't want to say no, it'll never happen, but I just think that the way the Bills are put together, they're just not going to be beat by a lot. It's just not how the way the coaching staff coaches. It's a very tight game. They play for in tight games, they play for one possession at the end of the game, go down, score, win. And so I don't see any blowouts coming our way on our end. There's a chance that it gets out of hand. Like, with the way that we play, there's a high end that doesn't happen very often. It's happened 4 times, or I guess, yeah, 4 times this year, to where we can blow out even a good team if our defense is on point. But, like, there's the bottom end is, like, it's a tight game, and we just haven't been good in those this year this far. But I think that it can – any game that this Bills team's play, it's either going to be a blowout for us or a tight game coming down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I think the point differential for the season kind of proves that for the Bills. You know, they're in every game. Whether we like how they play it or not, they're in every game, man. And I expect that to kind of be, you know, the MO going forward. You know, when I look at this Eagles defense, you know, I see some – the secondary is not a strength, right? It's not as good as last year's defense. But I think one of the things that, you know, we don't talk about enough is, you know, their linebackers in coverage. I think they could be had there. I would love to see the Bills kind of control the line of scrimmage like they did yesterday. Now, I know the The Jets offensive line, it's not very good. Like, it's not even, I mean, gonna hold you on that, but you know, hey man, I think the Bills have an opportunity to make some hay on defense, especially with Ed Oliver up front, man. He's balling out. So yeah, there are some holes, man. So it's not like, you know, I think if you're one that doesn't necessarily watch the Eagles or watch the All 22, I've watched a few of their games this year, and you look at it and you go, okay, like, I know they're what their record says they are. I know what the stats say they are, but there are some opportunities to be had. I mean, this is a team that, you know, they're really not like destroying teams by any means. You know, they beat the Chiefs last night. They beat the Cowboys by 5 before that. They beat the Commanders 38-31. I mean, I can go on and on here. Now, they beat the Dolphins pretty convincingly, but this is a team that lost to the Jets as well. So, I like our chances in this game. What do you think can be, like, if you had to pick one side of the field or one area where you say the Bills will win, if, what would that be for you this week?
This offense has been like very strong in different areas. We've ran the ball well in some games. We've played well through our tight ends in some games. I will say that with Byard, last year when we played against Byard, he had a strong man-on-man coverage with Knox, and he went 4 for 41, I think, again, and we blew them up. Diggs also had a really good game that game. So
sure.
I'm not sure if there's a specific area. I do think Kincaid could have a really good game. If they're giving us the same looks that they gave last week, Kelce could have had a good game. He actually had a really poor game if you look at his drops and him fumbling, but he was open. He was there. So like I do think Kincaid could have a really good game. Diggs also has had a really good game when you're playing against Byard as the safety, and I don't know how, if Slade's going to follow him or not. So it'll be dependent on how they play out against us. I would assume with this defense, they're going to play a shell and keep everything underneath. And generally in those games, Diggs will go 10 catches for 120. And like, he's just targeted quite a bit. So I could see Diggs having a big game as well. If they're going to play a big shell over the top. Josh just has to do what he did this week, take what they give him, play patient, and it could look the same as it did last week. Obviously, we're playing against a better offense. So,
I like that. Last night's game, I like the fact that the Chiefs went after that defense by running the ball. Now, I know that's probably what the Chiefs are going to do because, you know, we saw their receiving targets aren't, you know, capitalizing on opportunity, right? We saw tons of missed catches last week or yesterday, and we've seen it. That's been the thing all season for them. Here's something I want to tell you. So I'm saying that because, first of all, did you know this was last week? Now, I haven't accounted for this week's stats, but James Cook, right? I even talked about this on my show on Sunday night, but James Cook is top 5, okay, in the league. And rush yards over expected.
Yeah.
And he probably had, and he's probably like 4th now.
I think it's 3.
Second in efficiency. Okay. In terms of like 8+ defenders in the box, he's, you know, 9.17%. He's facing that the least amount. So it's light boxes. He's 8th in average yards behind the line of scrimmage. So when he's getting those carries, he's going north, right? And then, you know, he was 6th. I don't know what he is now in rushing yards, but he's having a really, really good year. So here's some stats from PFF in terms of, you know, if you're going to run the ball, this is who you need to run it at, okay? So I'm just looking at missed tackle percentages, okay? Brandon Graham and Hassan Reddick. Brandon Graham has a 50 missed tackle percentage, and Hassan Reddick has a 66.7. So if you're going to run it at that right side of that defensive line, man. We talked about coverage earlier. 4 touchdowns have been thrown on what's his name? The other corner. I can't even think of it. James Bradbury. 4 against Reed Blankenship. So, I mean, look, you're not going to get it on Darius Slay. I mean, Diggs could get one, but like, you got to attack these guys on the edge opposite Darius Slay. I think there's opportunities to be had, man. I'm not looking at this Eagles team, and I'm not scared. I mean, obviously, I ain't the one out there playing. I don't think the Bills are either. You know what I'm saying?
I do think that their coverage this year hasn't been anywhere near. Obviously, they're missing Gardner. They brought in Edmonds, who wasn't a great fit. I do think that their DBs have been a little bit more suspect this year, so they're lighting the box. So that's why it's similar to how we used to play with our DBs. We used to play a hard shell and sit over the top, and if they were going to run us 3-3-3 first down, like that was how teams used to like drain clock on us. And we play a little bit different now. don't get me started. We're gonna say that one.
You gotta address it because there's multiple comments in here. I'll let you finish your thought.
My dog Joe Brady addressed it. So I mean, it is. If you don't want to watch that, that's fine. If you want to hear him, be like, no, he's just talking. That's the OC telling you exactly what he thinks about Gabe Davis.
He's a great blocker, and
he's saying what I've been saying, that the routes that he's running in against these man coverages are decoy routes. That is a big part of what Gabe does. He spreads the field, he stretches it, and if they're not going to play underneath on him, that opens up the field for everybody else. So it is what it is. It is what it is.
Hey, they're coming after you tonight, dog. Your boy hasn't done anything.
They don't because – this is my biggest problem with the way people look at Jordan. They look at his stats and not everything he does for that defense. And so it pisses me off when people just look at Gabe and look at his stats and not what he does for the offense. And then they're like, no, he's just garbage. And like, have I ever said that I'd pay him top right wide receiver $2? No, I've never said that for the Bills. They don't have the money to do that. That's not the argument.
I think we can all agree that he has value to this offense. Like, and I'm not even capping. Like, he has value to the offense. But I think the expectation that we had was greater for him. And he's not meeting that expectation. And recently, when the offense is struggling, he has a C on his jersey and so forth, you expect more production. Now, no one's questioning the fact that, you know, his commitment, the way he blocks and the way he allows him being his presence on the field, because he's such a deep threat, his presence on the field opens things up for other players. I don't think anyone's debating that. Like, no, I would agree with you on that.
You may, but these people that just talk, that just are talking, I'm not going to lay into them right now, but these people that are just talking don't see the things that they're asking him to do as far as being a decoy and a threat and being a hybrid tight end pretty much with Knox out. He's the 12 personnel tight end on this team while still being the wide receiver number two. And then while still having to run deep ball decoy threats to get guys like Khalil Shakir, Dalton Kincaid open underneath. So I like this is my problem with the way things are looked at. He had no targets last week until the corner route that Josh overthrew him by 10 yards.
Hey, you're not gonna trash the king here, okay? You know, King Allen, you're not gonna do him Allen like that. I think
there's one target. I'm not just one back. I mean, that's one back throw.
If look, this is. And Matt says, how did I know y'all gonna talk about Davis? You guys started talking about Davis, and so we just brought it up. But it is one of those topics that, you know, we got to talk about because I want to see more production from him. Like, if the offense is much better if he's producing. I don't want to see box scores with no catches, no targets, no yards, no touchdowns. Like, that's not what – he don't want to see that himself.
I have no problems with that if we're scoring 32 points. I have zero problems with it because it means that he's taking something from the defense and opening up other things for other people. Now, when teams are taking away guys like Kincaid, stacking Diggs, and he's getting one-on-ones and not winning, if he gets a lot of targets in one-on-ones and he's not winning them, I will happily come on here and say, damn, he had a bad game. Sure. He had seven targets. He had a drop. And if that is the case for a game. I've yet to see that. The games where he hasn't produced, he hasn't been targeted. So I can't sit here and I said this in a group chat that we had that like if he gets seven targets a game, and he drops one of them and he's having bad games, I will call him Cheeks. I will come on here and call him Cheeks.
Well, you don't have to come on here and call him Cheeks. I'm going to call him Cheeks for you.
Now, man, I'm going to disagree with that.
Yeah, you disagree with me anyway. So that's just how we roll. You know, we brothers. Like, that's what we do. But I would like to see, look, man, I'm gonna keep it a buck. I want to see more production, especially this stretch moving forward. I hope that, you know, they look at his skill set and say, okay, this is where the offensive coordinator comes in, because Ken Dorsey wasn't good at this with multiple players. Let's be real, right? Yeah. I'll cut Gabe some slack on the fact that he is with a better offensive coordinator who's gonna get him involved in the game. Like, if you get Gabe involved in the game early, he's gonna produce late in games. That's been his MO, right? What Ken Dorsey was doing with him was not using him to his fullest potential. I think also I will say this caused him to not develop in some of the areas that he's not good in. Okay. Maybe, hopefully, if Joe Brady can't get it out of him, then we're already having a serious conversation, but the book may already be written, which I think is 75% written on Gabe Davis already.
I will say this, that there are certain teams I can go through the schedule and look at the certain teams and the way they play defense and tell you which ones that I believe Gabe's going to, that Spagnuolo defense is going to get ripped by Gabe. Yeah. You're not going to bring simulated pressure and have one.
We've seen that.
And so like that, there's certain defenses that Gabe, you either can't play that the hard shell that people play, cover four deep in the way Sauce plays, cover three deep, and like those type of in man coverage with cover two over the top, like those type of defenses where there's nothing over the top for Gabe is not going to be. But when you try to bring six on the line of scrimmage and drop out people, you're not gonna. I'm sorry, two of six. My bad. You brought that up and just completely blanked me.
So I'll add this to what you're saying. Teams with good safety play, I think Gabe will have an issue with, because they're going to get that help over top, etc. Right? You could do a cover one robber shade down, so you could take away the intermediate routes that he's going to run.
Right boxes is Gabe's not going to do great. Like,
but if you don't have good safety play, like the Eagles don't, they got Kevin Byard and that's it. If you're suspect in the back
end, they play light box.
Gabe can have opportunities this weekend. Next week against the Eagle, against the Kansas City Chiefs, he can eat. I want to see him use. I want to see them feature. I want to see him featured in the pass game. And if Joe Brady can't do it, the book is written on him. Would you at least agree to that? Like, if they can't get it out of him now, there is no more excuses for him.
In certain games. Or are you saying like consistently getting 80 yards a game? Like that's
I don't think that's who he is. I some production. Like can we get 60 yards, 3 to 4 catches, right? Like, and of those catches, a couple first downs. Like that's what I want to see. That'd be good production for Gabe moving forward. And if he goes over that, great.
How the game's going, right? Like we have the lead the entire time, so we're not really spreading it out and spreading the rock around. Like we ran the ball 17 times with Cook, 7 times with Latavius Murray, and like 5 times with Ty. We ran the ball quite a bit this last weekend, and these type of games, like Gabe's probably, he's going to be a blocker, a hybrid tight end. That's the version of Gabe you're going to get. And so I do believe there are certain games where Gabe's not going to be that guy. You still got to get Diggs his balls. Kincaid's going to get his balls, especially against guys that don't cover tight ends well. This Eagles team included, the Jets team included. Like, there's certain times where Kincaid's going to be the two. There's certain times where Gabe's going to be the two. And I don't think that we're not in that we're throwing the ball 50 times a game thing anymore. That's not how they're running their offense. That's not, it used to be like that. So Gabe used to be able to get 6-7 targets a game. And that's how they run it. Now one receiver is going to go off and one of the other tight end or the second wide receiver is going to go off. Khalil Shakir was a good example of that this weekend. He had 3 catches. He had the Gabe numbers, right? Those are the type of numbers that Gabe generally gets. 3 catches for 100. And it was Khalil's time to go off. And I am happy that they have a group of guys that can go off when asked upon.
Yeah, I mean it's a nice story, right? When you see, Gabe can go off, right? Khalil Shakir is showing the ability to put up consistent numbers. And then, you know, you got Dalton Kincaid, who's working the middle of the field, who's having a stellar season. It's starting to look good. Like, it's starting to kind of look how maybe we envision, although we did think that Gabe was going to have more production. But let's see what happens. I'm going to give him a benefit of the doubt slightly just because he's in a new opportunity, but he still needs to show up. I don't want to see 0-0-0 on the box score from him, bro.
I'll say this, that the injury to Dawson Knox helped Kincaid, but it also hurt Gabe because Gabe is now being asked to do a lot of things that he wasn't expecting to do. And I think that, I don't know if Dawson probably doesn't come back and get a lot of reps. Maybe the Quentin reps will end up being gone, but I don't think it was very many.
It was 20 this past game.
Quentin
Morris had 20.
The majority of them on run plays, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, like, I don't know if Dawson comes back and they use 12 as much, especially with how well Gabe has been as that hybrid tight end blocking kind of wing fullback. They motion him in to be a little bit of a fullback sometimes. Like, I think as the year
I'm gonna give you a reason why that might be incorrect, because I think Gabe's best like time is when he was like the third or fourth receiver on the team option wise. Okay, so maybe, you know, if Dawson Knox can kind of get those Quentin Morris reps, right? They can kind of use Gabe as a chess piece more, moving him around. The use of motion this past week was phenomenal. Maybe using him on motion to get him going deep, right? To start opening up these defenses from these, you know, rush three, rush four, seven or eight, you know. So like it may have hurt him, right? But like, we've talked about this all season. We need the Bills to be playing their best ball starting now. So if they can come out this week and get him going, they are going to unlock another parallel to this offense if they can get him going. And it's going to look reminiscent of the Bills offense a couple years ago with Dorsey at the helm, because we're starting to see the creativity that Joe Brady has with this offense. You know, some of the flood concepts, sail they were using. Those are the kind of things that, like, you know, when they put Diggs in motion, right? And then, you know, they got Dalton Kincaid over the middle, Josh slotted the ball right in there. Like, that is the kind of – that's poetry to me. Like, they got to keep doing that kind of stuff. And I don't see a reason why Joe Brady wouldn't incorporate more of this stuff going forward.
No, he definitely will. And I will say this, like, I seen a quote, I think it was Von Bell that said – I could be wrong about the name, but – they said that when they were playing against a Ken Dorsey offense, when Gabe lined up in a certain situation, certain formation, they knew exactly what route he was
running. Patrick Peterson.
Oh, it was Patrick Peterson. Was he on the – how long was this, during Dorsey or no?
This was last season, they said. Yeah, okay. It could be this season too, though. Shit.
The Minnesota game. He was on – okay. So, yeah. So, that's my thing with looking at these stats, and like, if Gabe's coming out and lining up in a certain thing, you know exactly what he's running every single time, because that's the offense that they put him in. I just don't see how you can be successful in that offense as a wide receiver. Now,
right,
Diggs is elite, so like, you can know what he's running, and you might move him around, because I feel like with the Dorsey offense, the only person they ever moved around was Diggs. And so they would move him in and out, they would motion him around, trying to get him on a certain guy. And so I think Diggs is going to go crazy regardless of the defense, and that's great. But Gabe is not – you put him in a situation where the defense knows exactly what he's running every single time, it's not going to work for him individually.
Yeah, no, it's – you know, I like that. I like that. Here's – you know, I like the fact that they didn't use Diggs that much this week. I mean, Diggs had a bad game.
So, like, Diggs and Gabe had, like, six targets combined. Seven?
Yeah. Four catches, 37 yards, something like that. I don't expect Diggs to have another bad game. It clearly wasn't his best. But they're going to need those guys, both those guys. They're going to need – they're big parts of this offense. Like, they're going to need those guys moving forward. Like, guys, like – the book for me is closed on Deontay Hardy. Like, yeah. I'm done.
Trent I don't like the way they use him. I just don't like the way they use. I'm not off on Trent Sherfield. I do think that there's a way to use him in this offense.
In the blocking role, like that's what he should be doing, not Gabe. You know what I'm saying? Like, use him for that.
I mean, that's fair. Deontay Hardy, the way they use him is just not. They use him like it's McKenzie, and he's just not. He's not a. I don't think he's a tool back, like a somebody that you can run on fly mode, and he's gonna. I think he's just a speedster. You got to give him the ball in open field and let him run. And I just don't think they use him that way. They kind of use Diggs in that certain type of aspect already. So I do like the way Khalil is forming. I think Khalil is becoming a nice slot. And so
yeah, he is.
He's stolen that job, in my opinion.
Yeah. So as of right now, here's according to snap count, Khalil Shakir has 131 snaps in the slot. Dalton Kincaid is at 176. Khalil Shakir, he's rated higher with 75.3 in terms of efficiency rate in the slot, which is nice. And Dalton Kincaid is at 55.2. So I'm good with that slot position going to Khalil Shakir. He's shown the ability to he stepped up. Like, when we thought that role was going to be Deontay Hardy's and his alone, we're starting to see Khalil Shakir kind of, grow up right before our eyes. And so
and it's taking away the natural slot, right? They don't run a natural slot. So Shakir could be in, out. Diggs can be in, out. Gabe could be in, out. It allows them to just move them all everywhere and just play wherever. Like, they don't have to play a certain position, a certain route run, like they can be anywhere on the field. So it does open that. Now you don't have a slot that slot's going to be Kincaid, right? So like that's
right. And the underrated stat that I'll give you about Khalil Shakir is he's getting 7.6 yards per run, per catch. I mean, that is good. Like the yards after catch is what this offense needs.
Great with the ball in his hands. Great.
Yeah, man. It's
He doesn't fumble, knock on wood. He holds that ball higher and higher. Guy moves and he's a slow center of gravity. He doesn't get hit. He doesn't get bounced to the ground. Whereas, like, our other slots in the past, McKenzie, Hardy, like, you really just got to bump them. They're going to fall over. Shakir's not falling over. So you're going to have to tackle him. And I do like the way he runs with the ball.
Yeah, it's looking nice. The use of running backs we saw with Ty Johnson and James Cook. Catching the ball in the backfield. Like, if this is what the Bills offense is going to look like moving forward, sign me up every single week for this, because that's what you need. Like, I didn't feel, last week it was the Diggs and Diggs and Allen show. Like, they got other dudes involved against a really good defense. That's the thing that I hang my hat on. It was a really good defense. They got two dynamite corners, good safety. I mean, where it showed me a weakness on their defense. They don't really have one. Like, that defense is solid. So
their second linebacker probably is the worst if you had the other inside linebacker, but Mosley's nice, but the other inside like that's why Williams,
but he's great for, against the run. Like, so he he makes up for that with his attrition to the run game, right? So it's nice, man. I think we got a nice problem on our hands. Like, I ain't gonna sit here and just cap, like, if they show it. I'm gonna be happy for those guys. What were your thoughts on, a lot was made of Josh Allen and we named the show tonight, I'm effing back. Josh Allen coming in this game, I didn't know what to expect from him, to be honest. I we all want to see that consistency that we know he's capable of having, but what were your thoughts on Josh's play on Sunday?
On his play, it was great. It's what we've come to learn about Josh, is that, like, when he's rolling, he's rolling. It's like when the ball's going downhill, I would really like to see him mentally. This team has preached mental toughness for so long. I would really like to see Josh mentally be able to take that ball when it's rolling downhill at him, carry it over the top and roll it. You know what I mean? Like, when things are not going his way, I just don't want to see the pouting. And it's not, I don't want to use that term pouting, because he's not whining. It's just like he feels deflated when things aren't going his way. Yeah. And I would like to see energy from him, regardless of if things are going his way or not. I would like to see him being all right, happy mentally. And like, part of that is like, and I've had some conversation. Part of that is living in Buffalo and you go to your phone after you scroll Twitter. You don't really like, there's no going out to do. You go home and like, you can't really go to any restaurants or else you're going to get bombarded with Bills fans that want to talk about the game. And if you struggled, now you get to hear it all the time. And Josh probably goes home, types his name just like Sauce did after the game, went home, went into the locker room, typed in his name and saw that he got beat for 82 yards and wanted to tweet about it. Like, those are the type of things that when you live in an area where you're not, there's nowhere to decompress. Josh has struggled when the narrative is that he's not playing well. And I would like to see him just like, dude, you're the guy. Like, you don't need anybody else's confirmation about that. You're the guy. Just go out and play. If you lose, you lose. And if you win, you win. But I want to see the same guy regardless.
Yeah, it's easy to say that, right? I think, you know, we got to keep in mind of who Josh is. Josh is an adrenaline junkie. He is, man. I don't think he's reached a point in his career where, you know, he tried to do this low positive BS, and that don't work for him right now. Maybe when he's, you know, six more years in the league and hopefully has a Super Bowl under his belt, he can start pulling that low positive shit. But right now, I think he has a lot of pressure on him to and I think he places it on himself, rightfully so. I mean, you're one of the top athletes in the world to be the best quarterback ever to bring a Super Bowl to Western New York. I think he wears that a lot of times. And so
but that's my point, right? That's my you don't need to prove like he's it feels like he's trying to prove it to other people to get that feedback that you are that guy. Bro, you are the guy. You don't need that from anybody. You're going to be the quarterback in Buffalo until you choose to retire, regardless of how you play for the next year or the next game or whatever. You're going to be the guy in Buffalo until then. I would like to see you with that same confidence regardless of if you're playing well or not.
Yeah, look, man, I you're right. Like I think that's the next step in his leadership. Like, he needs to be the guy, the catalyst for when they're up or when they're down. And I think too many times this season we've seen him when shit ain't going his way, we don't see that same Josh Allen. You know what I'm saying?
I see you on the sideline looking at the iPad.
Right. Getting that Manning face.
And like, I think that's the biggest thing about Joe Brady is that the first thing he said when he comes in there is, I think Josh Allen's the best quarterback in the league. He's my guy, period, point blank. And I don't hear that from Dorsey. And so, like, and Dorsey may believe that. I know they have a great relationship, whatever they talk about in public media, that they have that great relationship, whatever it is. But I don't hear it. I don't hear him backing Josh the way that Joe came on there, that national. And he's coached Joe Burrow. He's coached great quarterbacks. Yeah. And he came on there and said, nah, Josh is my guy. I want to talk about Josh. Josh is the best quarterback in football. And that is the type of energy I'm feeling from Josh, from Joe Brady, who just really is a vibe guy. He's a vibe guy, calling the same playbook, just better plays as the year's going on. And so I do like the way that Joe brings that out of Josh, and I hope he can continue to do so.
You know, I'm not – like, when I was listening to you talk right there, it makes me put – Sean McDermott into question a little bit. Like, he made some comments, you know, he doesn't like where Josh's head is at and stuff like that. And, you know, like, and that may be true, but I feel like, you know, I don't know if it's one of those where he's trying to send a message kind of thing, but like, I want to hear Sean talk about Josh. Like, we don't ever hear Sean really talk about Josh and like what he means to the organization. I mean, at least I don't hear it. Josh is one of those guys that needs to be in an environment where it embodies who he is in terms of like, man, he's happy. He's energetic. You know, I think Joe Brady, I think that, and Brian Daboll brought that side out of him, brings that side out of him. So I would say I would put that on the organization in terms of like, they messed up when they put Ken Dorsey as the OC. Just from a personality, you know, matchup.
I also feel that weight was on Josh. He knew that, like, because that was his choice.
It was.
Like, Ken Dorsey hiring was his choice, and I feel like he was like, dude, like.
But was it, though? Do you think that, like, I mean, because Josh has shown he's a good soldier, right? It could have been one of those things where it was like, this is who we're going to get. Josh, we need you to endorse this.
Yeah, hell.
I don't know. Because it makes me put into question.
It would be a smarter move from an organizational standpoint to not go into the offseason with any expectations of who they're going to hire, so that they can choose whatever they wanted to do. That was the exit meetings, the exit interviews. And I remember it vividly. Josh came on there and said, I think we already have a guy in here that can take over as the OC. And everybody was speculating who it was, whether it was Joe Brady or Dorsey. And obviously it was Dorsey at the end of the day. And so Josh didn't have to say that. Nobody had to say anything about that. That, in my opinion, that was Josh's decision. And he realized that it was a mistake at some point this year, and I don't know if it was in the offseason or the arguments with Diggs, and Diggs didn't like whatever it was. I think he realized it was a mistake, and like every week it's just like going into it, damn, I don't like the plays he's calling. That's a negative environment, and now I have to go out there and try to run these plays that he's calling, and then I got to go into these meetings, these interviews after, and they're going to ask me, do you agree with the plays? Well, I just got to be a good soldier and sit here and say, yeah, I agree. I mean, I got to run the plays that he's calling. That's what he was saying. He's like, I just need to execute better on the plays that he's calling. Well, if you don't agree with them, you're not going to do a great job at executing them. And so I think that this move for Dorsey could have been done sooner, but I do think that there's still time to make something work from with Brady and Josh. It looks like their relationship as far as what plays is getting called is much better.
Yeah.
And I like the direction that Brady is saying. He's very confident in Josh. He's bringing out some confidence in Josh. I know some of the players are going up to Josh like, bro, you're that guy. Like, they're trying to get it out of him so he can play with confidence regardless if in the game he throws a pick or whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. Come out and go next play. It's, you know what I mean? Like, I would like to see that Josh at some point, that Brady-esque confidence where he can mess up, go to the sideline, break an iPad, and we're right back the next series. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I think you're right, man. I think that's important. Josh needs to be who he is regardless of the situation. You know what I'm saying? Be the leader, be the catalyst, and not be so results driven. Like, okay, for instance, like his old comment about I'm back was after he threw the touchdown pass to Khalil Shakir. Okay. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, like, I need that.
I need that the first
snap. 0-0, 0-0, I'm back. Bring it. You know what I mean? Like, what I would like to see. That's what I would like to see from Josh at all times, because you're already there. It would be different if you were a second-year, third-year guy and you were still getting into the groove and you struggled a little bit. I understand it. But, like, you already been – you're an all-pro guy. You're a Pro Bowl guy, whatever it is going to be. You're there. Everybody knows you as the top three quarterback in the NFL. And even if they don't, who really cares, because the majority of people do. And just go out there and be the top three guy regardless of if you're winning or losing or if you throw a pick or not. It doesn't – you know what I mean?
Right. I know. I agree. Okay. So, all right. So the Eagles, we're back to the Eagles. There was a comment in here, where, you know, by Carl here says, you guys can talk about this game, but the Eagles will have no problems beating the Bills.
Where's your profile picture, Carl? Where's your profile picture?
Address Carl. Before I have to.
No, because these, they just do.
He did say happy Thanksgiving. You know,
he did. That's great.
He's a fan of the show. Thank you, Carl.
Did the Eagles lose to the Jets? Is that their one loss?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, no team in the NFL has really been dominant, right? There's not been one team that's been dominant for a large part of the game. This NFL season has been the most competitive season that I've seen in a very long time. Yeah, so
correct.
So to some come in here and say the Eagles – now it's possible the Eagles come in dominating the Bills. I have not seen any proof that the Bills can be dominated. I have not seen proof of that in any game this year, even the one offense that was supposed to dominate the Bills scored 20. And – really struggled for the majority of that game, which was the Dolphins. And so I'm not sure what you're looking at on the Eagles film. And if you are looking at the Eagles film, what you're seeing to say the Eagles are going to come in and dominate the Bills. I just don't see where you could pull that from any type of actual knowledge. I don't see it.
Yeah, I don't see it either. And I've watched a couple of the Eagles. I watched three of their games from the All-22 this season, three of them. And I don't see that. I see a very, you know, I'm going to give them credit where credit is due. They're good. They are good.
They're very good.
They're very good. But you mean it's, there's no way like the Bills can beat them? Like, come on, man. Who are we kidding here? Like, I understand it's cute for the media. I get so tired of the national media shitting on the Bills all the time because obviously they don't really watch it, right? Like, you know what I'm saying? So be careful about who you actually try to listen to when it comes to the Bills, because most of these guys honestly don't watch the Bills. They just don't. And if they are, they want to, you know, come out and just tell you all the things that aren't working. Right. All the things that aren't right.
Majority of them don't know what's not working. They look at the stats and say, well, they figure out what they, by looking at the stats, what happened, or if Josh had two picks, but two of them were Hail Marys. Well, just another interception machine. And that's why I can't stand national media. There's certain guys or certain, I'll say certain people. Dan Orlovsky is somebody that I would sit there and listen to as far as sure. where he breaks down on the offense. Even Mina Kimes, certain example, she uses yeah. more analytics, and mm-hmm. I'm not big on analytics. So, like, she has knowledge, though, because she actually uses the majority of analytics. Stephen A. Smith, Skip Bayless, these guys,
they don't know.
They don't watch the games.
Nick Wright don't know.
They watch Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football, and then they look at the stats for the rest of the games, come out here and make an opinion. They see a highlight and they come out here and make an opinion. And so I'm not big on national media who doesn't actually watch the football games. I will never make an opinion on another team if I don't actually watch the game. I watch a lot of the CJ Stroud games because I find him very
fun. It's fun to watch, ain't it?
Yeah. And so, like, I was a big CJ Stroud guy. I thought he was the best quarterback coming out. And so I watch a lot of his games. So I make opinions on his games based on what I watch. I will never sit here and make an opinion on another team without watching their game.
Yeah. Nah, and I think that's fair. Matt brings a good point here. And shout out to Matt and all of our guys over here at Buffalo Rumblings who keep the content flowing that's not in video form. I mean, these guys are tirelessly talking day in, day out, night, morning about, you know, articles that, you know, I mean, these guys, I'm telling you, man, Rumblings is killing it on the written content. So, you know, they don't hear it enough, but shout out to them, man. I always try to give them love. But he makes a good point, you know, keep spies on Hurts, keep his running in check. You know, Hurts does, he is struggling in terms of, like, he has a left knee injury. So I don't think, even though he did run last night, I don't think that's one of the areas where he's trying to put himself at risk. So I don't know.
More goal line, yeah. That's like more
goal line, short yardage. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to keep a spy on him necessarily. I think the Bills have the athleticism from the edge perspective, like with Leonard Floyd and you know, to really, if they are disciplined in their rush lanes, Shaq Lawson, Greg Rousseau, even Epinesa's gotten better at this. They can really contain him, right? Yeah. They're going to have to. The worry for me in this game is DeAndre Swift and what he's able to do on the ground. I think Ed is wonderful, but I'd like to see, you know, Linval had 20, 25 snaps this past week. I need to see him getting more of the Tim Settle snaps as well. I need to see him. I would love to see Puna. I would like to see Tim Settle inactive this game. And I would like to see Puna. And I would like to see Linval Joseph. Because I think if you can stop the run game for Philly, make them one-dimensional, make Hurts have to beat you, you have a great shot at stopping and limiting that offense.
I agree. I think early on they used a lot of 4-3 this week against mm-hmm. the Jets because they do run the ball very well. So maybe Dorian getting in and with Taryn coming back from concussion, we'll see if Cam Lewis is available. But I expect Dorian to play some early against the 4-3. But as far as pass rushing, I expect them to use the same technique that they use against the Chiefs, which is they will have their edge rusher to the short side of the field, take an underneath route, let Hurts escape out to the right side and make them a one-side football team. And so then they'll bring a linebacker late off the edge. And so they did that a lot to Patrick Mahomes consistently in the games that they played regular season last year. That way you're shrinking the field for the DBs. You're making them play on one side by taking an inside route like the Greg route. And we have a lot of skinny guys that can get little inside these tackles. So I do expect them to do that a lot, forcing Hurts to play on one side of the field when it gets down, making them one dimensional and making them pass, and then putting them in a position where they can only use one side of the field. That's how I would beat them defensively, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I think you're onto something there. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, we could say all this all day, right? But you know, the players got to do it. When I pull up, you know, when I was looking at the PFF stats, you know, I like to use PFF to kind of chart offensive line play. I think that's where they're golden.
Because you can get for a percentage.
So right now, their pass blocking is phenomenal. So Jordan Mailata is 81.2. Lane Johnson is at 80. Grant, you know, they got two tight ends that are up there. Landon Dickerson and Jason Kelce obviously are in the 70s, which is green, which is good. Now, you know, here's where the Bills can have opportunities.
Last week against Chandler Jones, though, and so if Ed Oliver, if we can get him in the third and longs, and Ed Oliver can play that kind of roamer inside guy, who knows?
Right. So Cam Jurgens is a weak spot on the defensive offensive line, right guard. He's given up. Let's see how many pressures Cam Jurgens has given up. 7 pressures, 7 hurries. You know, Sua Opeta has given up 17 on both of those. And he was playing due to injury and so forth. But there's opportunities for the Bills to kind of exploit these guys from the guard position. Like you just mentioned, Ed Oliver, who's having, you know, his best season as a pro. This is an Ed Oliver game more than from the defensive side. This is the Ed Oliver game more than anything, because if he can set the tone, the Bills are going to look pretty on Sunday, man. It's going to look pretty. I like, and he hasn't shown, like, he's shown the consistency all season. So I expect him to really perform well. What are your thoughts on Ed?
I mean, I this year he has been strong. He's been strong this year, more so than the previous year. So I as long as he's in the game, if he's in the game, I trust our D-line. I think it's a big T-dot game. I think he's been very well the last two games, and he needs to play well behind to keep them at first or second and 8, second and 9. So I think Ed's going to go come out and do his thing. I think he's shown that he can do that consistently. I need Terrell Dotson to come in and play the way he's been playing the last two games on first and second down, get him out of there, get some coverage in there, and force them to one side of the field. And so if T-Dot can play well this year, I trust Terrell Bernard already. I think he's always a playmaker.
Yeah.
If T-Dot could come into play like the way he's been playing, I don't see DeAndre Swift having a very strong game. Maybe, you know, and he could. He could. If Terrell Dawson doesn't play well, then he could. But I think Terrell Dawson's been playing well, and I can see him being like the catalyst. He's kind of like that spot. If you want to make a team one-dimensional, like, your middle linebacker is going to have to play well early on in downs. And so it's a big one to watch out for me.
I think with Dallas Goedert not being available to play, the Bills can play more base defense, right? And if you can get Terrell Dotson going downhill on first and second down, like you mentioned, I think that's going to be like successful, because what that does is, you know, it takes some of the responsibility off of Dorian Williams, where he could kind of just focus on the coverage necessarily. And also we got to look at who's going to be, you know, we had two concussions this past week, Dane Jackson and Taron Johnson, right? Are they going to be available? If not, you know, I would like to see Cam Lewis in that slot position. And then kind of let Benford and Rasul kind of take care of the outside, but I think linebackers are going to play a big role in this game.
Dane being hurt, I'm not liking the fact that he had a concussion. That's his second one in the last 2 years.
I know, right?
I don't like that at all. But however, even if Dane was healthy, my player on the cornerback is going to be would be CB and Rasul. They are very physical, and you're not going to be able to run these screens, that these wide receiver screens that the Eagles like to run. They're going to come up and tackle you. Those two in particular are going to come up and tackle. And so Cam Lewis can do that. Cam Lewis can come up and tackle. He's a little bit
on the lighter side.
As far as coverage, Terran's obviously much better. He's one of the better nickel coverage guys in mm-hmm. football. So like that's a little bit of a struggle if they get into like empty, but I do like Cam Lewis's ability to come up and tackle. So that short passing game where your guys are getting out, Devontae Smith and even AJ Brown, to an example, even on the fade ball game that AJ Brown has, you have physical corners to play with him. I like that. I like that out of our defensive backfield. So it'll be a great game. However, I do like our defensive backfield, even with the injuries against this wide receiver core, even though they got some studs over there.
Yeah. So Rasul Douglas, since he's been with the Bills, he's got a reception percentage of 50. That's pretty damn good. His coverage rate is 91.6, according to PFF. The dude he's phenomenal in coverage, man. He's great in terms of tackling as well. And we knew that when they brought him over here from the Eagles, not from the Eagles, but from the Packers, which he did play for the Eagles as well. But Rasul's going to be these corners are going to, I love the fact that you, Matt, mentioned that they're physical corners. I like that. Like you add more to the skill set, to the cupboard, and what you can do schematically, because you have guys that are willing to put their nose in and make a tackle from the cornerback position. You know, unlike, you know, Tre'Davious White, who excels at coverage, not necessarily a physical corner. So mm-hmm. with all that being said, I like the Bills' chances this week. I think the Bills can you know, come in this game. I think it could be a 28-21, 24 game Bills. I think the Bills are going to have to score like 24 to 28 points to win this game. I like the fact that Josh Allen has that confidence back. And when he has that confidence, I'm sorry, but there's not a quarterback better than him in this league. I'm sorry. When he's playing fully confident, there's not a better quarterback because he does more to me. So I like the Bills to win this game. What about you?
I agree. I think I'm both fully confident. Him and Patrick Mahomes, 1A, 1B, whatever yeah. it is. Like, obviously, his receivers aren't great right now, but, like, 1A, 1B, regardless. And so I think that's been people can throw in different names all year, whatever, but those are nationally, I feel like those are the two guys. I like the Bills' chances as long as the offense comes out and continues to build. They don't have to be dominant, but they need to continue to build on what they did last game. And I could see a 28 to I really want to give our defense giving up 17. I want to give that to him. So, but like a 31-20, 28-17 score, I could see that.
Yeah. I think that would be dope. Hey, Jordan had a great game last week, in my opinion.
Bro, they stay hoeing, my man. 21, bro. They stay hoeing him, bro. He has a highlight tape full of things that have been overturned by the New York. A highlight tape. We talked about this, bro. Every time it goes to review, it's always overturned. The Patriots interception, the fumble he caused against the Colts in the playoffs game a couple years ago when he let the dude stand up and punched it out, and they wouldn't end the game there because, can't end the game here. Let's let Phillip Rivers throw one down. Like, I'm getting sick and tired of them reviewing these and overturning things that really you can't see.
I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Hey, but maybe this week he gets that turnover that doesn't get overturned or some fluky thing happen. The thing is, though, he's always around the football. Say what you want, but the dude is always around the football. And I'm telling you now, it's going to pay dividends. It's going to show up. And I think he's on the right track. In my opinion, he's improved every single week. Okay, having Micah back there last week, I was a little worried about Micah being injured 2 weeks ago against the Bengals, you know, with the neck thing. I'm glad that he's back. We talked about this. Going to let those cornerbacks play freely. But, yeah, I think it's starting to look good back there.
Micah's injury is, like, lingering. the neck thing, and his stinger came back. And these DBs have had a lot of stingers this year, which is strange. But I think that'll bug him throughout the year. But I think he'll be able to play the season out. And it's more of a confidence thing, right? Having Michael back there just makes everybody else more confident. Having Jordan back there makes everybody else more confident. And Jordan continues to show to me that, like, this dude's going to be able to play as long as he wants to play, in my opinion. So,
yeah,
I can be a minus guy, but whatever.
No, I mean, I like him back there. We need him back there. So, again, you know, and you know, I try to keep it a buck. Like, if it wasn't that, I would tell you, like, it ain't it, but it's it. He's playing well. So no hate over here. With that being said, man, it's we're wrapping up the show. It's so great because when you and I get on the mic, it feels like 5-10 minutes gone by, and we consistently stay and argue for an hour every week, and it's phenomenal. Turkey Day is Thursday. Are you ready for Turkey Day? Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Absolutely, I'm ready. Because, like, wherever I go to eat, nobody ever wants the leftovers. That shit's coming right back home with me.
Let's go. Yeah, I'm ready, man. I'm ready. So to all of you who support Rumblings, all of you who are listening to the show, watching the show live, we want to wish you guys a happy freaking Thanksgiving. And also give you a go Bills. And we up out of here. Peace.
Go Bills.
Yep. Lee, goddammit. I only love it with some passion. Rubber band and the money that keeps stacking. Got a honey who come with elite fashion. She too fine, I tell her that thing magic. You ain't a hustler, you broke, well, that seems tragic.
That's tragic.
Gotta catch in the field like deep passes.
Catch.
I tell a plug if it's sticky, then please bag it.
I need
the best cause I grew up with deep madness. Need a Matt Berger.